Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
How y'all doing this morning? To all your mamas in the room, happy Mother's Day. We're grateful for you guys. This is a special day, obviously, for many different reasons, and so we're grateful for you guys. And one thing we want you to continue to do is feel like this, is no matter whether you have natural kids or not, you guys were designed by God to be a mama. And the influence that you guys wage and carry out into our society is felt and needed. And that's why, especially with abortion, the issue that's been going on, it hasn't been just about destroying, taking lives of babies and future generations. It's actually about been destroying the mother's heart. And the body and everything that goes along with that. And I feel like as much as we see revival and awakening take place, what the Lord is doing is he's going to restore back this place of removing fear about becoming a mother and what all that looks like. And there's going to be a joy and there's going to be a wonder and there's going to be the all of Mary. Like when I was praying specifically for, imagine a teenage girl who's betrothed to be married. Obviously, she's a virgin. And the Holy Spirit comes and comes upon her, and the angel says, hey, you're going to be pregnant. And she knew in that moment her life was going to be transformed forever. Like it was going to be different. She knew society would judge her. There would be all kinds of different stuff. Yet she said yes to the Lord. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. And so his word, the life, the word of God became flesh within her. And I'm just telling you right now, I really feel like this yes to the Lord that Mary carried. I want you guys really to pray for women, young girls, for men, for politicians, to all of a sudden to be so overwhelmed, not just by the love of God, but the awe of life. The spirit we're coming against is death. But we've been raised to brand new life. And so what is it? Just like we would be able to bind and loose in any other thing, we're able to, the way that you will bind death is by releasing life, by becoming life and encountering women, encountering people, becoming a part of people of hope where all of a sudden when they get into your presence, we always talk about, you know, laying hands on people who want to get an anointing for healing the sick or for prophecy and all those things. And those are all good. But what if one of the greatest anointings we carried that we were able to impart to people was the awe and the wonder of life itself? Right? When all of a sudden you just say, receive life in Jesus' name. And it has nothing to do about pregnancy at this point. I'm receiving the life of God that makes me alive. And no matter if you become a natural mama or a spiritual mama, all of a sudden you're so engrossed with the beauty of life itself inside of you that you're able to release life. And all of a sudden, I think the world begins to become a womb for life again. What was the words that God gave Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. What was they filling it with? The image of God, life. And so I believe that there's something. So continue to pray. I just really, this week as I was praying, I had a lot of compassion for those that were really bitter and angry about the potential overturn of Roe v. Wade. And doing crazy things that you would probably in a natural situation never consider doing. But all of a sudden, it was a spiritual thing coming in. I just felt this compassion. Like, they've never experienced life. And just the fear of the Lord coming on of life and awe and wonder. Every moment is precious. I was sharing with our leaders just a previous weekend over. And one of the things the Lord has been really speaking to my heart, I'm going to preach something else, but I just felt like this is what the Lord wanted to release for a lot of different people. Every second now has become precious to me. And I don't think it's because I'm 44 and, you know, all that stuff, and all of a sudden I'm evaluating life. It's like, no, every single moment to God is precious. Not just the year, not just the month, not just the day, but every moment I have with this beautiful woman who we've been married 23 years together today. Yeah. To the beautiful children we have, like every moment. When I come in here and I see you guys, every moment, every second that I'm in your presence is precious to me. It's important for us to become so all of love, all of the life of God within us, that every moment that we live, we realize is a precious gift that God has given us. And whether you have a few minutes or you have many, many years left, treat it as a gift. A gift to be enjoyed, to be grown, and to be given away the way you serve and love people. Amen. Let me give you all a 5-minute message. How many believe that one? Yeah, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona. But I do want to give you all time to go enjoy Mama's Day. So I was really kind of prepared to give you a Cliff Notes version. So what I want to talk to you about real quick is the power of a teachable spirit. Everything we've talked about today, what we've experienced, and even the songs, I didn't go to the worship team and say, hey, here's what I'm teaching on this week. I was really still praying about what I was supposed to preach on last night. And it was just like it was very obvious when the songs were going, the worship set was going, like, oh, yeah, teachable spirit, because that's what he moved in my heart just to preach as I was preparing this morning. But I think we need to understand now, how are we going to move into greater relational health? How are we going to be able to have greater influence in the world? Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. Let me hear you say transformed. The Greek word there is the same one for metamorphosis. It's a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, comes out as a butterfly. There's a transformation that takes place. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is. You can't actually have a renewing of the mind if you don't have a teachable spirit. If you're not willing to be taught, to be humble, to realize that you may not know everything. One of the greatest examples I was ever given about that was my spiritual father, Papa Jack. He died at 88, and literally in the month leading up to where he passed, I had a conversation with him. He's like, you have no idea the incredible things that God is showing me. He was learning all the way up into the last moments of his life. Like it was this hunger and this desire. And I would say he's like, Jack was one of those guys, if you point him, who knows everything about the kingdom, the most about the kingdom, you would have been pointed to Jack, just like Miles Monroe or some of these other great leaders. What made them great leaders, what made them great teachers, what made them great fathers was a teachable spirit. So it really just requires a place of humility in order for us to be transformed. Walking in truth. Truth, and when you understand the definition of truth within the Bible, is reality itself. Not what you think it is, not what you feel it is, but what is factually, what is reality? What does God say reality it is? John chapter 16, verse 12 says this, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. This is Jesus at the Last Supper. Verse 13, but when the Spirit of truth comes, let me hear you say truth, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. And this is why I told you that what he takes from me, takes what is from mine and will declare it to you. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you into all truth. We understand what reality is. If you're going through a circumstance and situation going, I don't know what's true in a circumstance or situation, you have to go back to the Holy Spirit and say, what is your definition of truth? And sometimes it's not going to be just about the facts about a situation that's coming down. You have to press deeper from, we always say that anger itself is actually a secondary emotion. That underneath anger is actually the reason anger is manifesting. And in the same way, when there's a situation that's going on, to get to the truth of the matter, you don't just need the factual, this is what's happening, like in a police report. You have to press down to what is true, what is reality, what is God doing according to his purpose, his will, his design, what does natural law look like, what does the spiritual laws look like. It's getting down to this foundation, and the Holy Spirit's the one that leads you into all truth. But the reality is this, you and I can have an unteachable spirit and actually never learn anything that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Because notice it says this, he will lead you. You can't go anywhere if you're not being willing to be led. You can't go anywhere if you're not willing to be led. If you're not willing to be taught, Doesn't matter. You can have the greatest philosopher, the greatest teacher of all time here to teach you, every orator, every great preacher that's ever existed all the way back to Jesus' time, and that we could bring him in the church right now, and they could start teaching the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if you're not willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, it won't matter. It will only be a head knowledge. It will never become a renewing of the mind that transforms you. And so it's important for us in this age. I've been several different groups that we're connected with, and there's the concern, like there's the spirit of deception in the world, and in the last times, the Bible talks about it, many will be deceived. There'll be people that will fall away. And so I've seen a lot of talk about, oh, beware, don't be deceived. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem, though, I see is if my focus is solely on don't be deceived, instead of let me be led by the Holy Spirit, then I'm actually going to miss what Holy Spirit's saying. It's not about avoiding deception. It's actually about being led into truth. This is why when we talk about the gospel of Jesus, yes, he saved you from sin, a sin nature, but it's not about what you were saved from. It's what you became after you were saved. It's what we're moving into. It's what life is. That's why when a woman becomes pregnant and there's a progression of life that develops and grows and there's this womb, it's this growth process, it's going to grow into a greater life. You're sitting here because you started as a cell. But you grew over time, and life within you and life that you carry grew over time. This is what we do. What's the truth that God's wanting to teach me today? We can go back and say, don't despise the day of small beginnings. That's very true in so many different areas of ministry. But what if it was this? Don't despise the small understanding you have about God now, but press into deeper. How do you do that? Get a teachable spirit. How do you maintain a humble heart in that place? Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Why would I ever judge what I'm capable of based off of how God designed other people or the years of experience they have that I may not have? And vice versa, I can't become arrogant and say, well, you haven't had the years of experience that I do. I know more than you. What does that have to do with anything? Right? This creates this dichotomy of orphanhood rather than we're sons and daughters growing together. Because here's the deal. My kids, I want them to grow greater beyond me. They're already doing things in God that I had no idea was on the radar when I was their age. Teachable spirit. One of the reasons they're moving, I'm going to brag on my kids, is because we've worked with them to develop a teachable heart. Not a do it because I tell you to, that's control. But instead, if you would just listen to me and let me lead you into what's true, you will grow further in understanding. You'll be able to experience the thing you desire to experience God. Listen to me. And isn't that the book of Proverbs? When you go through, how many people will just do like a daily proverb and you read through it? Like, what is it over and over? My son, if you would just lend your ear to me, if you would just give me a learning heart, a heart to understand. In fact, what did Solomon ask God for in that divine encounter? He didn't ask for wealth or any of those things. What did he ask for? A understanding heart. What is an understanding heart? Teachable heart. God could give him all understanding. I'll tell you where Solomon went sideways. When he stopped having a teachable heart with the Lord. And he started being taught by the world more than he was being taught by the Holy Spirit. And he starts marrying different cultures and all kinds of stuff. And Solomon, when he's writing Ecclesiastes, he's going, man, life is pointless. It's like spitting in the wind. And it's like, is that in the Bible? A different translation it is. But what was Solomon? Solomon had become so discontent with his knowledge, and he became overwhelmed by the knowledge he had of how the world worked, that he forgot the awe and the wonder of a young boy that said, God, give me an understanding heart. I think he stopped having a teachable heart from the Lord. So you can have somebody that gains knowledge and has a teachable heart in terms of the ways of the world, the knowledge of good and evil of the world, and they're just going to understand. And the Bible calls that you're going to be puffed up with knowledge that actually has no life. Why does a pufferfish grow up really big? Right? When it gets afraid, it inflates. Why? Because it's trying to puff up and make itself look bigger than it really is so it can scare off the predator. But what happens? It eventually comes right back down. And then you see the true pufferfish in that moment. See, instead, the Lord says this, be filled with my spirit. He will elevate you. He will puff, he will breathe life into you. But it won't be life that just goes like a balloon. You'll continue to grow and to grow and to grow. Just like in the womb, you grow and you grow and you grow. Isn't it interesting about human life that human life is, or human pregnancy is very unusual in the animal world, where most animals, whether it's a horse or an elephant or a giraffe or whatnot, minutes after they're actually born, they have the capacity to stand up and begin to be self-reliant to a certain extent. But not humans. God designed that process. So while there's a level of protection when they came out in the process of growing, is that there was going to be a dependency upon parents to raise them up, to train them up and grow. Why? Because that's what God wants to do with us. You're born again by the Spirit of God, and you don't know spirituality from a hole in the wall. But you need God to lead you what? Into all truth. So I stay in this hunger, this humble position of God like a child, faith like a child, faith like a child. Jesus, bring the children to me. He wasn't just talking about the four-year-olds. He was talking about y'all. I don't care if you're 88 years old or you're 5 years old. He was saying, bring the children to me. Those who have a childlike faith, the willingness, the teachable spirit. Look what it says in John chapter 17, verse 6. I've revealed your name to them by to the men you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Let me hear you say word. That's the word logos, which is specifically what is, again, reality itself. Now they know that all things you have given to me are from you, because the words that you gave me, I've given to them. They've received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They've believed that you sent me. In other words, they had a teachable heart. They received the teaching that Jesus is bringing. They received the authority he taught it in. They received fully. They honored. This is where the verse says, honor a prophet in the name of a prophet and you get their reward. And we think that has to all do about the supernatural anointing. It includes that. But what are you actually getting? The awe and the wonder that a prophet has, the intimacy that the prophet has with the Lord, the ability to press in and move beyond the cloud. I'd run in and I see your, reveal to me your glory, God. That's what you're receiving when you receive and honor a prophet. It's that type of relationship to hear God for yourself. And in the same way, when they received Jesus as the Word made flesh, as they received him as the bread of life, as they received him as living waters, as they received that, then what happened to him is it was this teachable spirit that allowed him to grow. What happened to Judas? I propose to you that he never had a teachable spirit. It says this, he lost none of them except for the son, the one who was destined for destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. The father knew in advance that there was going to be one. It's a demonstration that you can be in the proximity of Jesus and you can see the miracles and you can even participate in the miracles. But if you never have a heart that receives Jesus and is willing to be always led into all truth by him, you're actually destined for destruction. And I'm not just talking about hell. That was his thing. But I'm telling you right now, you could be a born-again believer and cut yourself off from the Holy Spirit and not be teachable. And then what you'll begin to see is destruction around you. All my hope is destroyed. All my relationships are destroyed. I'm just like, what am I going to do? I never see hope anywhere. It's because I don't have a teachable spirit with the Holy Spirit. I have to submit my heart to him. Look what it says, verse 9. I love this. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me because they are yours. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine, and I've been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except for the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Verse 13, but now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may be my joy completed in them, so that my joy may be completed in them. Verse 14, I've given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, as I'm not of the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. You want to understand end times? I'm just going to say it real quick. Doesn't matter if you believe rapture, all that stuff like that. I'm just going to tell you right now. He asked that the Father would not take them out of the world. Why? Because we are the solution of the Father to the world. Greater darkness does not actually invite the light. Greater light chases the darkness. Just a freebie. Verse 16. They are not of the world as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What does sanctification mean? It's a process of going from one degree of glory to the next in the knowledge of who Jesus is. Sanctification. I've been born again, and now I go through the sanctification process over the course of my life. What does that mean? It means I might be fully born again. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. But it doesn't mean all my mind, my will, and my emotions are cleaned up yet. It doesn't mean that I'm mature yet in the Lord. But I go through the process of sanctification so I can grow into maturity, so I can fully represent Jesus while I'm here on the planet. But how do you get to sanctification? A teachable spirit. And it says, and how does sanctification happen? By your word. Intimate relationship with the voice of God, who, yes, teaches you from the Bible. But this, not the Spirit of God breathing on it. That's why religion kills. Lots of people know things about Scripture, and they use it to kill people. I'm just going to say this. That's why there is a falling away, and actually I'm trying to say it in a nice way in a short period of time. There's a compromise that's happened in many church fields that says, just be who you are. It's going to be okay. God loves you anyway. And that's true. He's going to love you anyway, but it's his word that changes you. We have to have this expectation to be taught, to be challenged by the word of God. I read this thing so many times, and the Lord just, he brings something to my mind. I'm going, oh my, whoa. Hey, remember when he said this? Yeah, Lord, I remember when he said this. Reveals the truth. Oh my gosh, I was not revealing your heart in that moment. I need to go and repent. I need to go and apologize. Or, hey, he reveals something. Hey, you're believing this about yourself. And all of a sudden he reveals something. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to repent because I believe something about me that you've never believed about me. I'm being sanctified by the truth of God that requires a teachable spirit. Y'all okay out there? Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I've sent them also into the world. And I sanctify myself for them so that they may be sanctified by the truth. When I read that this morning, I've read that 100 times. It's never jumped out at me the way it did. Jesus says, I sanctify myself for them so that they can be sanctified by the truth. When you don't have a teachable spirit, you dishonor the way Jesus sanctified himself for you. No guilt, no condemnation, but hopefully there's conviction. Verse 20. I pray not only for these, talking about the 12 that were there, but also for those who believe in me through their message. Let me hear you say that includes me. So many times I've heard people say, well, he was just talking about the people that were at the Last Supper. No, he wasn't. He said, I pray not only for those present, but everyone that's ever going to become a believer through the message of Jesus. So that includes us. Verse 21, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they be one in us so that the world, listen to this. I'm going to say this again. Unity is not about when the church comes together and agrees on everything. We're not going to agree on everything, but we become unified in the image of who he is. And look what it says. They may be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you. May they also be one in us. Let me say in us. So the world may believe you sent me. The only way the world is going to believe that Jesus actually came for them is that when they see us, not necessarily one with one another, but we're one with them. Hear me on this. Unity without oneness with Jesus is actually a false lie. It's a false dichotomy. Because now we're getting together and we can love one another, certainly. But it does not transform the world. My responsibility is not to be one with you first. My responsibility is to be one with him. And then I have the capacity to be one with you. Amen. Husbands, you want to love your wives as Christ loved the church? Be one with him. And then suddenly you have the grace and the ability to love her as he loves you. You see it? May they be one in us so that the world would know that Jesus was sent. A teachable spirit unlocks blessings. It unlocks greater advancement and success. It unlocks favor. It unlocks opportunities. If you want to be empowered, you have to have a teachable spirit. The reason that the leaders were up here and they're stepping into something greater is because they have a spirit of humility that far surpasses whatever I've walked in before. It's amazing to watch the humility of Stephen and everyone on this team and Erica. It's amazing to watch their humility. They have a teachable spirit. And because of that, they can be entrusted with greater things. Right? And what I'm here to tell you is this. What is the Father wanting to entrust you with in your own life? Your own sphere of influence? What is he wanting to entrust you? In order for you to actually receive what God really wants to give to you, you first have to have a teachable spirit so that it develops inside of you the process that allows you to walk with the mission that Jesus has created you for. If you can't be teachable, he will actually protect you and protect others from that. And there will not be advancement. But he says this, God will humble the proud, but he will exalt what? Say it louder. Yeah. He will exalt the humble. You know what humility is? Teach me, O Lord. David, a man after God's own heart. Search me, O Lord. Show me if there's anything that's out of alignment with your heart. He wasn't on a sin-finding mission. He was on, I want my heart so to be one with your heart. If my heart doesn't have what your heart has, search me and tell me so I can bring it into alignment. You can teach me, you can show me, you can lead me to become a man after you that represents the world, the image of God. We're called to represent the image of the Father to a lost and dying world. So why don't you go ahead and stand with me. Not bad, 20 minutes. Thank you, sir. I want you just to close your eyes real quick. Position your heart. I want this to be a message of encouragement to you. From the beginning to the end of this service, it's all been about, Lord, we're submitting our hearts to you, Jesus. Where you go, we'll go. What you say, we'll say. Jesus, while you were here on the earth, you only did what you saw the Father doing. You only said what you heard him saying. Would you say, Holy Spirit, teach me right now. Lead me into all truth. Ask him, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to lead me into today? Just as you're in that place, just soften your heart. This is not a message of condemnation, but encouragement. You were made, if you're born again, say I am. You were created to hear the voice of your Father. If you've never been born again, the only way to really step into transformation is to allow the Holy Spirit to bring you into salvation. Be led by the Spirit right now. Be transformed by recognizing that you need him to live life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that confession is about being teachable. And you believe in your heart that Father raised Jesus from the grave. What is that? That's showing you that you're believing, you're stepping into transformation. You're really believing he is who he says he is. It says then you're saved. So Holy Spirit, would you just bring us into a place of the full salvation. Every single person. That Jesus, if you had to be taught by your Father, then we know we have to be taught by your Father. And so I just release an anointing in the room right now to be able to hear and understand, to see and comprehend, to be able, just like what Melissa said earlier, to understand and have an understanding heart just like Solomon, to understand the deep mysteries of you, God. Just release that awe and that wonder right now in the name of Jesus. And I bless every woman in the room right now. I bless those that are mothers. May there be joy. May there be refreshment and renewing. May there be reconciliation where there needs to be reconciliation. May there be hope and courage, even for the ones that they're praying to come back home. Release your grace. I pray for every woman that desired to be a mother but was not able to have children. And I thank you, God, that you bring comfort and you bring understanding. Thank you that you're meeting every woman there. And you're bringing healing to the heart and a release to still be a mother around them. I just pray right now for every person in the room that did not have a good experience with a mother, whether they were present or not present, and they wish they weren't present. I just release right now the healing of the brokenness of that heart. I just speak to the trauma that was given, and I remove trauma now. And remove the place of influence and say, Holy Spirit, bring healing. I speak the trauma be the things that you should have received and yet didn't. I just declare right now through the Holy Spirit that he's going to lead you into all truth. There's not a missing out. He's a restorer of all things. So I thank you through your Spirit right now. You're beginning to make all things new. And to make all things whole. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that, Father. And we thank you right now for those that are with child right now. And we bless these pregnancies. We bless the mamas to connect deep with the spirit of their children. And we pray, Lord God, just for an ease and a grace. And we just thank you, Father God, for what you're doing right now in this place. And declare it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.